You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Lips as sweet as candy. Its taste is on my mind.
That's a good sound right there. That's the sound of a long day finished, and we're here to talk about video game and video game nonsense on We Are Air. I am Christopher Herman, and I'm joined by John Romo.
For all you sub 21 year olds out there, that was sparkling peach water. Don't get it mixed up, Chris. Isn't that cool? Is it really grapefruit though?
Yeah, it's peachy. Peach and grapefruit.
Dude, I really love LaCroix. The pamplemousse flavor?
That sounds fancy.
That's the shit.
You want to try some? It's actually pretty good. It's very refreshing. I'm sure my germs are in my
good,
backwash.
This is good audio.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Oh, he gave a good slurp right there.
That is actually really good.
Right? And it's only 40 calories.
It's got a lot of flavor. You know, 40 calories a can. Give a shout out to that brand. What brand is that?
H-E-B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love them.
I spent 6 years in H-E-B.
It's good. I mean, did you enjoy it?
No. Sometimes. The only reason I'm able to talk into this microphone right now is because of my time at H-E-B. I could not talk to people or anything like that before I worked at H-E-B.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's just a positive experience. H-E-B, they helped John talk, and they gave me sparkling peach grapefruit.
Working in a grocery store will teach you to talk to any sort of asshole in the world and keep a smiling face. Mm-hmm. So when you meet nice people, it's really easy.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But actually we're going to get into the... to the video game news today. So as we occasionally do, we go over the NPD game sales numbers, by month, and we're going to go over the ones for October 2016. And we have the top 10 games of October, starting from with number one, we have Battlefield 1. Number two is Mafia 3. Number three is Gears of War 4. Number four is FIFA 17. Number five is NBA 2K17. Number six is Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Number seven is WWE 2K17. Number eight is Civilization 6. Number nine is Titanfall 2. And number 10 is Madden NFL 17. We have some fun facts for you here, which I totally did not get from another website. Sales of software in October, propelled along by AAA releases like Battlefield 1, Mafia 3, and Gears of War 4, helped push overall software sales to $539 million, an increase of 36% over October 2015. Hardware sales for October, on the other hand, saw a 20% decrease over last year. Microsoft Xbox One topped October console sales, and overall, the Xbox One saw an increase of 8% from the same period in 2015. Nintendo's 3DS saw its fifth straight month of growth when compared to the previous year in October. Unit sales and consumer spending for October grew 12% for the 3DS, according to NPD. Gears of War, an Xbox One exclusive, came in third place for the month. However, sales figures gathered by NPD for Gears of War 4 only counted physical copies, meaning it's likely Gears of War 4 would have landed higher on the list had digital sales counted towards its total. Bethesda's Elder Scrolls Skyrim Remaster also charted this month, similarly without digital sales figures factoring in. John, what strikes you in this list specifically?
You know, it's been a good month for original IP. Every single thing in there has some sort of number.
Is it two or yeah.
Even Battlefield 1 has to point out that it's one because it's a different one.
They went backwards with that one.
I do think it's interesting that Mafia 3 is up there.
Yeah, I mean, considering how the game has kind of performed poorly critically.
It is just... Well, has it been poorly or such...
Mediocre
six and sevens, which technically, my roommate Trace, he's been on the show before.
Yes.
He has Mafia 3.
We should have him on for a review, though.
Yeah, I really do want to play it. But I've been like, I thought that wasn't great. It's not, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes that's all you need. Mm-hmm. A game that doesn't have this weight to it, or it's not trying to be something. It's just like, I don't know, give me $60, you'll have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of what it is, I guess. It's just kind of odd that it's up there.
Well, I mean, what I have heard good things about Mafia 3 in regards to the characters and its story. It's the gameplay, on the other hand, that people have been complaining a lot about. I mean, okay. Look, I would love to hunt down Klansmen in, you know, 1960s Louisiana. I think everyone does, right?
I've also, you know, it'd be fun to hunt down Klansmen in 2016 Louisiana.
It would be, certainly now, yeah. But anything else on this list that you feel kind of stands out?
Gears getting so high. Ooh, I do love that Titanfall ain't doing too well. And I know you love that, because that does tie into something we're going to talk about in a bit.
Yeah, we do.
I don't actually love it, but it's just kind of like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that right in a minute. But yeah, the things that kind of stick out to me is one, Battlefield 1 is number one. Really, yeah,
it came out the last week of October?
It was in October, obviously. Okay.
I know, but it was like late October.
Maybe it was mid-October, I would say. Anyway, but I mean, everything I've heard about that game, very, very positive. Having played the beta and just been very impressed with it, and then really just kind of sitting down, taking a look at those like little vignettes that have been everyone's been talking about. I can understand why the game is one performing so well commercially, but also critically. Some of the things I think just want to point out, yeah, Gears of War 4. I'm glad to see it up there. As many of you know who've listened to our Gears of War 4 review, I was a big fan of it, and I think as someone who bought digitally, I'm sure that it probably would be higher on the list had they counted digital sales. And another big surprise to see Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim up there. Obviously, they didn't count digital sales for this one either, but the fact that, you know, Bethesda can still sell Skyrim 5 years later on a new system.
Why?
You know, they can still chart well.
Why aren't they counting digital sales?
I don't know. They occasionally don't count them. Sometimes they do. It's kind of, they're very, maybe because they don't have like, they don't have the time to do it, or.
I don't want to discount our first news segment here, yeah. But why is this important? If it doesn't actually, what does the NPD do? Isn't that your job? Isn't it your job to count?
Maybe because it's not very accurate.
Okay.
Maybe I would say in regards to maybe digital stuff and where maybe they feel like they have a
but do they count digital for Battlefield 1?
They didn't say for this one.
What about for any of the other games?
I mean, past NPD numbers that I've seen that they've counted, but I don't know for this particular list. The ones that they just wanted to point out were specifically for Gears of War 4 and for Skyrim. So maybe they are counting digital for these other games.
Also, is Civ 6 PC only?
Yes, it is.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool they got up.
Yeah, PC gamers.
It's like, what are you getting from Civ 6 that you didn't get in 3? I really do want to know.
I love like, Civ 3.
All the Civs are great. Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference between any of them.
They just think this look better. They add new things to them. You get a nice voiceover from Sean Bean. Who doesn't want a nice voiceover from Sean Bean? I certainly do.
I mean, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, the one, probably the thing that I'm not surprised to see is Titanfall 2 at number 9. Obviously not charting very well. And that kind of goes into our next story.
You're getting much better at these segues.
Thank you. Respawn co-founder Vince Zampella says the studio is currently unsure as to whether or not there would be a Titanfall 3. We don't know yet, Zampella told Glixel when asked if there will be another installment. He said that Titanfall 2 has been a huge success critically, and they're really happy with all the reviews and the positive sentiment. But it's too early to tell from a sales standpoint. We definitely like to tell more of the story in the universe, Zampella continued. I think it's pretty safe to assume that we'll explore more of it. EA might have announced more. Zampella also spoke to the launch of Titanfall 2, saying it's definitely, feels a little odd to have the game released in the same window as a new Call of Duty. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is from my old studio that I built, he said, and they're repackaging my old game that I built on a brand that I built. So it's kind of like you're throwing it all against me. The Respawn co-founder acknowledged the studio was aware of the competition they'd be facing this holiday season, but said they didn't know the precise timing of the game's launch, which was right after the release of EA's other big shooter, Battlefield 1.
EA fucked them.
No, they did. They absolutely did. I think I don't understand why they decided to release, especially right after Battlefield 1 came out, which I think they knew. I think EA had a good idea, like, this is going to be a big success for us.
No, yeah, after what I think Battlefield 1's trailer and Call of Duty Infinite Warfare trailer had come out around the same time.
Yeah.
I think Infinite Warfare might have been first. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the Xbox One PS4 reveal situation where, like, you can tell Battlefield just, like, has a shit-eating grin because they see the way people are pissing all over the Infinite Warfare trailer. Mm-hmm. And then all the positive feedback goes towards Battlefield. Yeah, and like
at that it's not Call of Duty.
Yeah, and at that point, EA should have been just like, okay, we'll just let Battlefield do its thing. Mm-hmm. They really did fuck Titanfall.
They did.
It would have been a fine March game.
That's it exactly. They should have released this kind of first quarter of 2017 in March, because that's a wide
open. How many shooters do we are we really playing like into the summer?
Very, very few. I mean, I think the only big shooter that was released during that time period was Doom. And again, Doom was so successful because of the fact that it was single player. But then it was the first shooter that released during that time. And yeah, it's sad because though I haven't played Titanfall 2, I really enjoy Titanfall 1. And though I think that maybe they probably should have included a single player experience with that, I was addicted to that multiplayer. I probably put in probably 100 hours into that game. You know, I regen my pilot several times, and I had a lot of fun with it. So, I mean, and the other thing is that I thought it implemented a really cool kind of, I mean, gameplay that we don't see in most first-person shooters. And so I'm sad to see that the game is not performing all that well, because it's not Respawn's fault. You know, it's clearly EA's, and I don't know. I mean, it was just a stupid thing to put it out now, and I hope that we get a Titanfall 3. Maybe not this generation, but the next generation.
I don't think EA cared after the lukewarm reception of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
They saw that, and then they were just kind of like, oh, well, maybe this isn't it. This isn't they. Not I bet Call they Duty were before. Expecting Call of Duty numbers. Yeah. It didn't get anywhere near Call of Duty numbers. So they were like, well, we already have our Call of Duty then.
Mm-hmm.
We're going all in on Battlefield.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to point out, too, is that this Titanfall did not have the backing of Microsoft like it did last time. Like, Microsoft, they were marketing the hell out of the first Titanfall, because that was the big Xbox One exclusive. It was like, this is the reason why you need to own Xbox One, was for Titanfall. And then the fact that they kind of went multi-platform, where not only are you able to play it on Xbox One and PC, but also the PS4, I mean, I think that kind of hurt a little bit. Where, I mean, its sales, I mean, we don't know specifically the numbers, but they're considerably less in regards to Titanfall 2 than Titanfall 1, which was performing much better at the time. So
I think it's already been on sale multiple times.
Yeah, and it's going to be on sale during Black Friday, I think, for like $30, right?
The same price as Battlefield 1, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to pick up Titanfall 2.
I might pick up both. Yeah, I might pick up both, but
we're gonna have to run through those deals before this whole thing ends.
Ubisoft will reportedly be incorporating less narrative in its upcoming games, according to an interview with Le Monde. Ubisoft chief creative officer Serge Hascoët said that each Ubisoft game should be an anecdote factory. While the games will have a story, the more freedom the player has in the series, like Watch Dogs and Far Cry, the more unexpected things can happen. Hascoët wants players to express themselves and then share these unexpected moments with their friends. The first game to fully embrace this change in direction will be the next Assassin's Creed. For the next Assassin's Creed, the designers have created a system in which what I do not only has meaning just now, but also long-term, said Hascoët. My actions will change the world. I'm actually not surprised by this. I mean, a lot of Ubisoft games, especially really since the last generation, have kind of embraced more of an open world, specifically, you know, the Assassin's Creeds and the Far Cry games. You know, it's like, could I tell you the plot to Far Cry 4? Not really. You know, Troy Baker plays a Napoleon dictator. I got to get my mother's ashes. It's like, all right, what animals can I hunt? Who can I shoot? You know,
spoiler alert for Far Cry 4 real quick. Yeah. I really love that have you played it?
Yeah.
You know, when, forgot his name, Ming?
Ming,
He asks you to sit and wait.
Yeah.
If you sit and wait, you just kind of beat the game.
You do. It's funny. Yeah, you sit and wait. He comes back, and you go to the temple, deliver your mother's ashes. He's like, all right, let's shoot some fucking guns already. Come on. You know, I thought that was funny. I went back after I beat the game, and I played that section.
That would be very upsetting, though, if, like, just say you started the game. You're, like, 14 years old. You started the game. Your mom calls you to go do something, so you go do it real quick. You forget to pause, and you come back, and you're just like,
huh? The credits.
Yeah.
You get the credits. Like, what? That'd be awesome. But I mean, what do you think about this?
Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
For certain games, I think it works. But I liked Assassin's Creed because it is a scripted game. Mm-hmm. Because it has a narrative that is very distinct. That's why I was really disappointed by the third game. Because
the narrative sucks.
Yeah, because the narrative fell off.
Yeah.
But I think the second one works so well because the narrative, at least in terms of your Animus adventure, is very tight. And it's about a person. Mm. And it's still about his journey. There's a lot of in-between things, but it's about his journey from that young Ezio. You literally become him when he's born. Like, your first action is to move his arm.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
Forget about that. And then you ended out as old Ezio, you know, your last battle. So that's why I love that series. That's that's what got me so attached, especially to Assassin's Creed 2. So it's a yes and a no thing, and I think it's kind of weird to say outright that we're going to move away from that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's to me that's such a game by game thing that to make that kind of commitment outright. I don't know. Ubisoft is really quickly becoming one of those companies that I'm not sure I trust too much.
Yeah, I mean, some of their... occasionally...
They're just all over the place.
Their games are kind of hit and miss. Like, you know, though I haven't played a lot of The Division, I was fairly disappointed. But just by playing the beta, I'm like, this just isn't for me. And again, it was very open world, very light on narrative. And that's why I had such a disconnect, I think, because... Well, not only because I just didn't like the gameplay. But yeah, I had no connection to what the character I was playing as and the other characters. They're just kind of there to, hey, you know, this is my quest that I'm giving you. Go shoot these guys in this part of New York and come back and I'll give you a shiny gun. It's like, okay. Whereas, you know, I don't know. I think I'd be okay if maybe a little less narrative if the world itself is really interesting and the characters, maybe the characters are just kind of like these bigger than life types of personalities. And I'd be fine with like a lighter narrative.
Which is why Far Cry 3 was so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Voss is one of my favorite villains from video games, Last Generation.
Yeah, but also in I can't really think of a really good Ubisoft case, but Naughty Dog's games are heavily scripted, and those are some of the best in these past two generations. So it's just odd for a company to go, I don't want to do that. Like, I'd rather do something this way or that way, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a weird commitment to make, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, so early on. I want to see kind of what some of their biggest franchises are going to look like. Because we don't know what the next Far Cry game is going to be like. We don't know what the Assassin's... We have an idea what
the next
Assassin's
Far Cry
game
is going to look just like the last Far Cry.
Yeah, exactly. But it'll have even less focus.
This one might
on.
Be in space, though.
I would really, really like to see a Far Cry in space. Around like an alien planet or something like that.
Which I feel like probably will be the move that they make. Because if Primal, I think, was a pretty good success. Also until this Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was a pretty good success. So why not just do Far Cry franchise in a particular setting?
Yeah, agreed. Another game I'm actually pretty excited about is the Batman, Telltale's Batman. They just released the latest trailer for Episode 4.
Did it run properly?
Yes, it did. The trailer
did you get through the trailer without stutter?
I did. There was no stutter in the trailer, but this is a brief description.
Better than the game?
Penguin is taking control of Wayne Enterprises, and the Elizabeth Arkham Asylum for the Incredibly Insane has a new guest, you, Bruce Wayne. With the Batman removed from the streets of Gotham City, Harvey Dent's forces and the Children of Arkham are at war, with innocent citizens caught in the crossfire. To escape the comforts of your padded cell, you must choose allies to aid in your escape, even if they aren't the sort to put a smile on your face. How far are you willing to go for justice, for vengeance? What now, Dark Knight? So, spoilers.
Wait, is the Joker hinted at in the trailer?
He's in the trailer. You didn't watch the trailer, did you?
No, I didn't.
You, come on.
I know I'm already going to play this. Why did I look at the trailer?
Well, okay, yeah. I mean,
damn it! Why?
But he's right. He's right in like the first 30 seconds. They show him, but he has this great where he's like, "Welcome to Arkham Asylum." You know, it's this great. And the voice actor, I don't know off the top of my head who the.
Is it a new one?
It is a new one. It's not Troy. I thought it might be Troy Baker. Yeah, because he's Batman and he's voiced the Joker in the past, or maybe Mark Hamill. But no, it's totally a new voice actor. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big focus of the trailer, at least for the first 30 seconds of it. It's Bruce, as we know, at the end of Episode 3, it picks up where Bruce Wayne has been kind of condemned, at least for a period of time, in Arkham Asylum, and you kind of get to see what the treatment of all these kind of patients are in the asylum, and you get to introduce to several, I think, well-known Batman villains, particularly the Ventriloquist, Victor Zsasz, and most notably, the Joker.
It seems
or at least someone who, at least who we don't know, he may not be calling himself the Joker, but he's clearly, this guy is obviously the Joker.
Does he have white paint on his face?
His skin is white. He might be an albino or something like that, but he also has green hair and everything. So and he's smiling, he's laughing manically. So it's like, this guy's clearly the Joker. He's best friends. He wants to be best friends with Bruce Wayne. He's like, I love you, Bruce.
It just seems very odd. I thought this was early Bruce Wayne. Now they're kind of just throwing everybody at us.
I think...
Because we see the creation of Harvey Dent. This is the first time we've seen the Penguin. Mm-hmm. Every villain in this thing is the first time we've
seen it. But, I mean, this could be a totally different origin for the Joker. Where, I mean, I mean, we also a little bit because it's a trailer, but clearly this guy, whoever he is, he's meant to be the Joker of this new Batman world. Ooh, and he could be maybe like Heath Ledger, where he just shows up.
Ooh, yeah, what if he is just a crazy person in Arkham,
yeah,
but his experience with Bruce Wayne and kind of something in this episode or the later episode happens where, like, he gains a fixation on Batman.
Yeah.
After these two. Ooh.
That might be cool.
That would be cool.
Because it's hinted at in the trailer that you might be working with him to escape.
I do like the sound of having to pick allies within Arkham and as Batman to, not as Batman, but as Bruce Wayne, to have to navigate Arkham and use your brain. And, like, that's a unique thing for Telltale to do. But, hey, this game's not going to run. Don't even kid yourself. This game's going to stutter. Each conversation's going to just stop midway through. Anytime you have a fight, prepare to load mid-punch.
It's,
If you've been listening to our reviews for Batman and Telltale series, which you should, you can hear me get more and more pissed off at this franchise.
I mean, yeah, the thing is, yeah, they have the stuttering and they don't run particularly well. At least, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Still, I thought this was a great trailer, and I'm definitely looking forward to this next episode, but because I want to see what Telltale's version of the Joker is, so I'm excited on for that reason. But moving on, we have some more Telltale news.
They need to fix their engine down.
We have some more Telltale news. Telltale Games is reportedly working on a game based on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, according to details released by Actors Union SAG-AFTRA in a report from comicbookmovie.com. As part of SAG-AFTRA members' ongoing voice actor strike, the union released a list of video game titles, most of them referred to under their code names, that are both of and not part of the strike. One of those documents reportedly listed Guardians of the Galaxy, the video game, a.k.a. Blue Harvest, alongside Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 3, as in development at O'Farrell Enterprises. That company is registered under the name of Darag O'Farrell, the voiceover producer for The Walking Dead, Tales from the Borderlands, and other Telltale games. The document that outed Telltale's Guardians of the Galaxy, the video game, appears to have been updated. The current versions of that list of titles now refers to the project as Untitled Marvel Game, a.k.a. Blue Harvest, alias being a reference to the working title of Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Marvel and Telltale Games announced a partnership in 2015. At the time, the two companies said that their first collaborations would be released sometime in 2017. Marvel plans to release a sequel to a movie based on the franchise, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, in May. Marvel Games Vice President Jay Ong told Polygon earlier this year that the company has been working on an aggressive push to bring its properties to console platforms and is working with AAA game developers on a number of titles. Marvel and Sony revealed a new Spider-Man game in development at Insomniac Games at this year's E3. First of all, I think that if this is true, I think this is great because Telltale has shown, in much the same way they do with kind of drama and horror, that they're experts when it comes to writing comedic characters and comedic dialogue. And I think Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of perfect for them, particularly if you're interacting with all the members of the Guardians of the Galaxy, whether you're playing maybe just one character or maybe several. I think that's really cool. Now, I mean, John, what was kind of your reaction to hearing this this news?
Oh, it won't load properly.
But just like hearing the general, like, that they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy game. First of all, have you played Tales from the Borderlands?
No, that's, is it good?
It's awesome. It might be my second favorite of the Telltale games. Number one being The Wolf Among Us.
Okay.
But,
I haven't played that either.
Oh, Wolf Among Us.
So does it load?
Yes. Okay. But, okay, so I guess you're not particularly
Man, they're
excited.
Making me real bitter. No, but I am really, I think this is a good property decision because Guardians is the least known, so you could kind of fudge up the numbers and, like, do weirder things with it. Most people will know Guardians from the movie than anything, and that only gives you a surface introduction to them. And it's also weird. The movie's different than every other Marvel property movie. Doctor Strange is also kind of strange. That's fine.
I really like Doctor Strange.
I think it was the epitome of okay.
Really?
Yes.
Cargill's not happy with you.
It's
man.
The third worst.
Wow.
Fourth worst.
Really?
Iron Man 2 is the worst, and I just think the Thor movies are just boring.
I agree with you with the Thor films. I'm not really.
My thing is,
I think the Doctor Strange is the best origin film since Iron Man. For me,
I really like Captain America.
See, I like Chris Evans' Captain America, but not that movie.
I like Ant-Man. I like Ant-Man like a lot. Yeah. I think Ant-Man is going to be the most watchable out of all these movies because it'll show up on TBS on a Tuesday afternoon and you'll sit there and go, yeah, I'm going to watch this whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just strange, and I know we're getting way off topic, but I haven't had the opportunity to talk on mic about this. What I really like about Strange is the way it ends. It's different from other movies.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it because it's spoilers, but it's different from the others. It tries too much to be comedic. It tries to be like a Guardians or an Ant-Man because it is in that same boat as them, as this is a relatively unknown character.
Yeah.
It's harder for us to push them. But Guardians and Ant-Man both had comedic actors that could, they're just funny naturally. I don't laugh when I see Benedict Cumberbatch.
Look at that face. How can you not laugh?
He just seems
looks
snooty.
Like a salamander.
He's hard to like because he's kind of snooty.
Or an otter.
But yeah, I think Guardians is a good choice because it has that whole cosmic universe to dive into. So you can do different things, get strange with it, and I don't know, it's one of the properties I think Marvel would be more likely to go, yeah, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm so pumped for that Spider-Man game. Like high key, that made me want to be like, I need a PS4.
I hate a suit.
Huh?
Suit looks dumb.
It's different.
Suit sucks.
It's so different, though.
It's so dumb. It's like, let's combine the symbiote costume with a regular, red and blue, and just like this weird amalgamation. It looks so awkward and weird. It's like, so hopefully there's a way I can change my suit like in the first 5 minutes.
Yes, because of course there's not going
to
be.
There needs to be. It better be in the cutscenes.
There's
going to
be 17 different costumes in the first 5 minutes.
I hope so. Speaking of things which I'm happy of. That are
good things? You're trying to say good things?
Good things, bad, whatever. I'm glad this thing isn't happening. It looks like the Uncharted film is finally moving forward after 8 years of internal drama surrounding the project. By Naughty Dog and Sony's next big screen adaptation, The Last of Us, is at a standstill. Director Sam Raimi told IGN that while he couldn't get into much detail, he was attached to the project, but neither Naughty Dog nor Sony were doing anything to move it forward. Raimi confessed that Naughty Dog creative director Neil Druckmann had some kind of disagreement with the direction of the film was going in. Right now, it's just sitting there, Raimi said. They don't want to move forward, and it's not my place to say why. And Neil, I think this is in a slight disagreement with them about how things should go, so there's a standstill. And I don't have the power to move it. Sony's subsidiary company Screen Gems announced in 2014 that it was adapting the action-adventure survival horror game with Druckmann on board to write the script. Since the film was announced, there hasn't been any progress on pre-production or casting. The film still doesn't have any actors attached to it at this time. Good. Because I don't want this to happen. I mean, we kind of gone over this before about how,
these games are movies in their own right. Stop it. Stop it, Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Don't ruin my stuff.
Yeah,
please.
Don't ruin my stuff. I had my adventure with Joel and
what would it be? What would it be? Some be separate universe type thing? Because you better not touch the Joel and Ellie storyline inside a movie.
No, they're totally
like literally fuck you if you do that.
They're totally going to do that. And, I imagine. I mean, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't. The same with the Uncharted film. I don't. They say
that's happening.
Production.
I swear that. I think it's happening.
It's going to fall apart.
It'll fall apart is if the Assassin's Creed movie is absolute garbage.
Which it might be. It's got a great cast. I'll reverse on that. I don't think it, in terms of quality will be garbage, but I think that it will perform so poorly at the box office because it's opening at probably one of the worst times of the year. So it's going up against a Star Wars film. It's going up another big sci-fi
film. Oh, is Rogue One this year?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's coming out the same day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what are you expecting?
It's the same sort of sci-fi weird, it's the same market.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why would you do that?
Man, the people are not going to, our market that we're in, people are going to see the Rogue One over Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I honestly might have seen an Assassin's Creed movie over Episode 8, potentially.
Man, you don't like those.
I just don't care. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought 7 was fine. 7 is, 7 is
it's
the...
That's your favorite one.
It is my favorite one because it's 4. But, socially appropriate. Four is technically the better movie, but it's just white people. So,
yeah,
like,
isn't it great? It's Trump's America
dude,
now, John!
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about it, but the scene in Episode 7 where, John Boyega is trying to pull around Daisy Ridley, and she's like, I don't... Stop it! Stop pulling me!
Stop holding my
hand! Like, there's so much character in that, and it's like, it tells me so much.
Yeah.
It is actually really good.
I suppose, too, this make-out, honestly.
It is really good. I just hate... Like, I hate when Luke's face shows up and he's, like, shitting himself. It's just
what?
Like, get out of here.
What are you talking about? What do you mean shitting himself?
His face looks like...
Episode...
I have a fart. At the end?
Episode 7? Man, I read that completely different. I said that... His look... People say, like, Mark Hamill's kind of like a mediocre actor, but he was acting his ass off. That face
That's
conveyed
really?
30 years of just, like, I've gone through hell, and I don't want to do this anymore. In terms of, like, where his character is at, where it looked tragic. He looked broken, and that's what I loved about that ending.
Yeah, because he's constipated. Have you ever been constipated for a really long time? Because it'll fucking break you. You want to move on to game deals?
Let's move on to game deals.
Insert Resident Evil 4 clip.
Got a selection of good things on sale, stranger.
So you can read out the game.
No, I just wanted to throw out some highlights there.
Yeah.
Because when this posts, it'll be the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it comes after you eat all that turkey. Sweet video game deals.
Video
game deals.
I knew that answer.
Good job. Like, some of the ones that are going to be thrown out, I think you've probably seen. The new 3DS is going to be $100. Nintendo's putting out a special edition black and white version Nintendo Mario themed.
Mm.
You're gonna get yourself a new 3DS. That's the only way you can play them SNES games on the subway.
My old one, on the subway, my old one can't handle it. Yeah, no, I think I'll pass. I'm getting the Vita. I'm gonna be getting the Vita.
Hey, for real?
Yeah.
Well, sad to say, there are no Vita deals.
But I'm not surprised by that.
There are also no Vita video games for the past 2 years.
Not surprised by that either. It'll be my PS1 retro machine.
That really, that's a big deal going on.
Yeah.
And really ties into our second segment of the PS3.
Mm.
But in celebration of that launch, Sony's been hosting, this is week 2 of a 10-year anniversary sale. Damn those PS1 deals.
Mm.
I bought Tomba 1 and 2 just because. I got all the PS1 RPGs. I got Suikoden. I bought Chrono Trigger the other day. I think I bought Final Fantasy 7 just because I was like, fuck, I need to.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger's okay.
I thought it was... Chrono Trigger was like the best thing ever, I heard.
Sorry.
What's your favorite RPG on the PS1?
I also
about Final Fantasy 1 and 2, because I feel like we should probably talk about those soon with Sept-15 coming out.
Do remasters count? Do you count remasters on the PS1?
I mean, that's technically what 1 and 2 are. Small remasters.
No, I know. Wild Arms on the PS1.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, because I bought it. It was $2.
It's better than Final Fantasy 7. I'll say that. I'll take the heat for that.
I think...
It's better.
I think at this point, that's not a, like... unpopular opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much love Final Fantasy VII really is.
Oh, it's still...
Like, I know it's much love for what it did.
They're making a super remaster of it.
But the game, I don't think, is as good as the first 6, if that makes sense.
Well, certainly 4, 5, and 6. And my problem with 7 is that it's aged horribly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But moving on. PlayStation 4, you can get one for $250. That, the Slim deal with Uncharted 4.
That's a good deal.
That's... How's a Switch gonna hold up against $250 console, $300 console? That and the One is also gonna have $50 off a terabyte 1S bundle with Gears 4.
I mean,
it's gonna cost $300.
Yeah, I mean, I think both those deals are good. And I mean, with the Switch, I mean, we just don't know. I mean, the test case will be the hardcore Nintendo fans, because I'm gonna wait for what they're at. I mean, they're gonna love it no matter what. But really, it just depends on what's offered on it and what the. Do we know the price on? No, we don't.
The Switch.
That,
If it's over $300, get the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pay any more than that. So
I also do want to highlight a couple games. PlayStation wise, $15 you can get The Last of Us remastered, all 3 Uncharted games. Until Dawn, Infamous Second Son, Bloodborne. No, Bloodborne is good. Battleborne is garbage.
Bloodborne is kind of like the spiritual successor to Dark Souls.
Oh, I'm getting that then.
That's really good.
Far Cry Primal, $15. $20, Street Fighter V, which I might cop.
I'm not.
Dark Souls 3, Mirror's Edge, Star Wars Battlefront, get the fuck out again. $25, you get your Skyrim. Add to those MPD numbers.
I'm going to get my Skyrim.
I will do that. Metal Gear Solid 5, the Definitive Edition, No Man's Sky, don't buy it. The Witcher, The Witcher 3, which, again, I just can't. I need to play the first two.
You don't need to play the first one, because it's only available on PC, and your PC will die trying to play it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too much. Play 2 is, that's backwards compatible on the Xbox One. Okay. So you can get that. That's you can watch a 5-minute video to find out what the hell happened in Witcher 1, and then you'll be set. You'll go into 2, and 3 you'll be fine.
Okay.
Just do it that way.
$30 you can get Destiny the Collection, which my friends have been playing Destiny.
Yeah.
And for $30 I get all the Destiny to catch up with my friends.
You get all the Destinies?
Yeah, all the Destinies. You get the Destinies. Iron Kings and the Winter's War. In the
Iron Forge.
I'm just kind of throwing out fire and ice terms.
I mean, a lot of there, yeah, yeah. Winterfell and you know, what the fuck's the Lannister thing?
Winterfell.
Yeah, Winterfell and Casterly Rock. I forget. They're all weird names and stuff. Yeah.
And also, Grand Theft Auto will finally be below $60.
Wow.
It'll be $30.
Wow, yeah. That's impressive.
Doom for $20.
That's worth it.
That's a review about to drop. Mm-hmm. You got to get you some Doom, especially for $20.
Rip and tear.
Like, damn. Gears 1 Ultimate for $15. Ori and the Blind Forest, I think, is a good game that people...
Yeah, Ori's great. I really enjoy Ori.
Again, $30. Bioshock, the collection for $30. Okay. I will definitely hop on that. And Mafia 3 will be $30. So, like, that's your time to get on those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those deals specifically that I read out, and I really think Best Buy has the best game deals. Although, I did see at Walmart, FIFA 17, Madden 17, and Battlefield 1... $27.
Ooh,
so, like, get your ass to Walmart if you want those games, which I will get FIFA. No, you're not a sports guy. But for $27, a game where I can just kick a ball around for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because FIFA, I can just, like, zone out. Rocket League, though, I'm zoned in. So, like, I can't relax in Rocket League. Oh, Overwatch is $35. And Titanfall 2 is also $35 at Best Buy. But, again, probably don't really need to get Titanfall 2.
Be a dick about it. Don't hit them when they're down on the floor crying. Jesus Christ. I'm excited. I'm going to get it. Just to spite you. And you can play your stupid sport. You can review your sports game alone.
FIFA's so fun, though.
No, it's not.
Football!
Sports, soccer, whatever nonsense. But, I mean, yeah, there's going to be, obviously, a ton of deals then on, like, the PSN and Xbox Live, probably.
Yeah, I think you can get...
So many, like, hundreds.
Small, right? Digital deals?
Yeah, digital.
Yeah,
that's
I think PSN is probably going to have it's got to have another week of sales,
oh, yeah.
In which I'll spend $60 again on PS1.
See, that's what I'm going to wait, because I'm going to spend all my money on the digital stuff, because, you know, I'm with the modern age now, John. I don't go out to the store and buy physical discs. I buy them digitally, like a normal person.
Okay, see, the smart thing is, I bought Doom on a physical disc. You know what I'm going to do with that Doom disc now that I'm never going to play it again? I'm going to take it to Best Buy, get me $5 back. That's going to go towards brand.
$5.
That's going to go. That's a third of the way to a brand new video game.
Mm-hmm. All right, you can get that FIFA that you love so much. Kicking the sports ball.
Hey, in Trump's America, we really need to build those international relations.
I think we do.
By playing each other in football.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kick it to the second segment.
If you can guess what the title is going to be by the way this game will actually start. As a matter of fact, this screen also brings back memories for me as well. I'm sure it does for some of you, and I'm sure you're dating yourself by saying that you remember. I don't know if you remember this particular opening. This was actually on the original PlayStation game as well when it was loading the game. Of course, I'm not a very good player even there. Game is powered by Namco. It's Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer! Remember that one?
Okay, so tell me why you actually think the PS3 is better than the PS2.
I think... in regards to just like the PS3, why it's better? Well, no, just to start out and just say, I think everyone loves a good comeback story, and the PS3 is that, where it had a really rough start. You know, Sony, in their hubris,
they fell right on their ass.
They absolutely did. Where they felt that you're gonna pay $600 for this machine, you're going to get a second job to play on this console. You're gonna play Ridge Racer and fight a giant enemy crab, because, you know, we're Sony and we're the kings of consoles. And
you know why they were the kings? Because the PS2 was the best damn console out there.
No, the PS2 was the quote unquote best console because it was the first one to function as a DVD player. And more than half of the reason why people bought that console was the fact that it could also play DVDs. That's why it sold so well. That's why it sold so well in a lot of foreign markets as well, because it broke that barrier. It sold in South America, sold in Africa, sold in parts of Asia. And, I mean, that's why PS2 was such a success at the time. Where what I appreciate about the PS3, in hindsight, as we all do in everything with hindsight, is that you really started to see the power that this machine had and how it was kind of hidden. to a certain extent. I mean, when you think about, like, some of the first games that were on that console, like, say, you know, Resistance Fall of Man, a competent first-person shooter, but nothing particularly special. By the end of that generation, we got arguably one of the greatest games of all time. I feel confident in saying that in The Last of Us. And one of the best trilogies of all time, the Uncharted. Now you can say, oh, that's just Naughty Dog. But then I think that you started to see some really unique franchises on the PS3, particularly the Infamous, which really kind of, people kind of give credit to the Batman games, where like, oh, these are the first, good superhero games, where we've gotten to schlock. Like, I'll argue that Infamous 1... which I think came out like 2008, 2009, or yeah, around that time period. And Infamous 2, I mean, they kind of this is how you present a superhero game, where you can make it fun, you can have great gameplay, cool supervillains, relatively interesting characters. I mean, it was kind of the...
Oh, yeah, because there are some very memorable villains in Infamous 1.
Listen.
Cole?
His name's Cole. Okay. Yeah.
And he was so, like, bland and garbage in the first one, but they redesigned him for the second one, didn't they?
But that's the thing. I'm not going to...
Completely dropped him in the PS4 version?
In terms of... I mean, there's something... He died in the quote-unquote, he may be dead in the second son or whatever. But I'm just saying, it really was... Those were the games that kind of broke the mold. Like, oh, and this is how you can create a good superhero video game. And I'll even say that I think the Resistance franchise where... I think they're kind of underrated in terms of world building, and especially, I mean, it's kind of unique where it's a first person shooter. It's like an alien invasion story, but it takes place in like the 1950s after World War II, after we defeated the Nazis, and how the kind of all the world's governments have kind of come together, but they're using this really kind of old technology. It's unique, right? And I think though maybe there were some missteps in regards to Resistance 2. I thought the 3 was a kind of a very underrated game, and even the Killzone franchise. Which again is there, you know, a lot of these franchises were made on the PS3 because they wanted to be, they were billed as Halo killers at the time, and where Killzone 3, or excuse me, just the Killzone trilogy, I should say. Whereas I think that maybe they're kind of generic. I mean, they were fun to play, and I felt, I mean, they're much better than any first person shooter on the PS2. Which again, there are no good first person shooters, good first person shooters in the PS2, at least none that I know of, or at least not, you know, something I don't consider myself. I wouldn't play a first-person shooter on the PS2, whereas I would on the PS3. So, I mean, those are kind of just my initial thoughts on the PS3. Why I think it's a console where I look back at least initially with kind of confusion, but then, you know, after a while, after Sony got over their hubris and kind of bullshit, they're like, okay, we're going to concentrate on just producing good games for this console. And that's why I appreciate it. That's why I like it more than the PS2, which is function as a DVD player.
What I love is you actually do really love the PS3. You just went, I asked you a simple question, and you go off for 4 minutes to tell
you
me
told
why
me why. You told me why do I think it's better.
I sound sarcastic, but I'm serious. And I think, well, you know, let's... We're talking PS3 in the second segment because it's 10 years old as of the 17th, so yesterday. 10 years old in America, at least. In Japan, it released November 11th.
They don't count.
Damn, that's xenophobia.
Yeah, comes from America. It's okay now, John, right?
Goddamn.
Yeah.
November 17th, 2006, that American release date. The console, like you said, it was sort of a strange buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Hot off the PS2, which nobody could touch at that generation. What was it, like 80 million consoles? Plus about...
I think it was over that.
Over that?
I think it was 100 million.
124?
90 or so. It was very high.
Okay. It was the gap, though, because the Xbox was second, and it only sold like 25, 30, something like that. That's a pretty huge gap. So I remember at E3 2005, May 16th, is when we got that reveal of the console, and it was that prototype reveal, though, the one that still had the boomerang controller. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a nightmare. I remember that. I was like, you can't have this.
I don't know. I remember seeing that and going, okay. Mm-hmm. I'd like, that's so different, whatever. So I was such a PS2 fanboy, and to this day, I still am.
Yeah.
As you, like, I was holding my tongue because this is a PS3 topic, but everything you're saying, I'm just thinking Jak and Daxter, Sly Cooper, Ratchet and Clank, Kingdom Hearts, like...
I mean,
Psychonauts. I know Psychonauts is Xbox as well, but like still, I think it was PS2.
Yeah, and keep going. Yeah, I love Sly Cooper, even though they repeat the same fucking story in each game, and I really like what are the other games you know? Psychonauts. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
You don't like Ratchet and Clank?
I like the new one on the PS4. I think that's the best Ratchet and Clank game.
Well, it is the best one, but like the PS2 ones are good.
The people kind of have this weird people kind of are wearing like rose what the fuck's the thing where rose tinted glasses when they think back at the original Ratchet and Clank. Very odd game. It's like the characters at Ratchet and Clank, they're actually kind of assholes throughout the entire thing. Like, they dislike each other right off the bat, and they really don't become friends until the very end. Whereas in the new game, which is a reboot of the first game, it's like, oh, we're best buds. I'm just like, okay, this is good. I like that. So maybe that's why I don't think very fondly of the original Ratchet and Clank. But, I mean, continue on. Why? So, just to continue on.
Yeah, that boomerang, which I thought was cool. The boomerang console, or boomerang controller, it was revealed it was going to be called the Six Axis, which was their half step, in my words, into motion control gaming, which at the time did we know much about the Wii? I don't remember. Yeah, I think it was revealed at the same time, but it was still called the Revolution.
Yeah, it was called the Revolution.
They come up with cool code names.
The Dolphin.
What was the Wii U? Do we know that one? I know the NX sounds so much better than the Switch.
Yeah.
And Revolution sounds better than penis.
For the Wii U, I think it was called this stupid fucking thing. I think that's what it was, the code name. or the penis.
But they eventually, Sony decided to drop that design because of a heavy backlash from the fans, as one I just saw from you. You can look up a numerous amount of JPEGs of just Batman holding that controller. Also, if we're talking about backwards compatibility, which I think was a big key thing for me, especially that generation of consoles, I think 360 started off with backwards compatibility too. The greatest thing about the PS3, at least those initial ones, was they could play PS1 games as well.
Yeah.
Which I think was a huge key. And I know we've talked about backwards compatibility.
That's why I like it.
and you mentioned that like it's a nice bullet point, but no one actually uses it.
Mm.
But so is a lot of things. Mm. Like, do we really need a lot of the excess we have in gaming? Mm. No, but it's a nice bullet point to put on the back of the box.
Yeah. It's goodwill. It's a gesture of goodwill.
But because of that backwards compatibility, they needed the same sort of ergonomics, so they would be the same. I really still wish I could have gotten my hands on it, though. But the man responsible for visual design of PlayStation consoles at the time, Teyu Goto, he had said that the desire for change was there, but the legacy of the PlayStation was stronger. The slightest change to the controller could annoy players, and risk wasn't worth taking. I think a key note about that is legacy of the PlayStation.
Mm.
And I think, as you kind of hinted at with hubris and stuff, legacy played a big factor into PlayStation in that initial reveal.
Yeah.
Or the reveal the year later at the E3 when details started coming out. That's where we got the memes like Ridge Racer or Giant Enemy Crabs. $599.
Mm-hmm. You'll get a second job to play this thing.
That initial prototype, it had shown two HDMI cables, three Ethernet ports, apparently. Like, why the fuck do you need three?
You need a lot of Internet.
I don't think it works like that. More Ethernet ports.
According to them,
six USBs? It's an ass load. I'm really confused why you need three Ethernet, so.
I guess it
eventually slimmed down. It got 1, 1, and 4, retrospectively. But it was announced with two hardware configurations, a 20-gigabyte model for $499. At the time that it was originally announced, it didn't have HDMI. There was no memory stick for SD cards or compact flash reading capability. There was also no Wi-Fi. When it was like initially announced, that 20-gigabyte model was not planned to have Wi-Fi. Which
I remember that. Yeah.
That's so weird. That's not forward. That's not really thinking ahead. Which I think 360 a year out of the time. The great thing about the Xbox, and we'll get into that in a later episode, was the introduction of Xbox Live and Microsoft knowing that online play was key.
Which is far superior to anything that even now Xbox Live is far superior to the PSN.
In my opinion. And that'll definitely be a topic that we continue to talk in this episode. The HDMI port was announced to be included on September 2006, though, because why the fuck would you buy it otherwise? Mm-hmm. Like, remember Dead Rising? I know it was a 360 exclusive, but people who had SD, like, standard definition games at the time, or screens at the time, you couldn't really enjoy that game because of the tiny text.
It's just
a sense of, like, Sony, at the time, not really thinking about the future, more thinking, like, oh, you're going to give us money. Don't worry. But the 60 gigabyte model, it had everything that you wanted, the HDMI, the Wi-Fi, but it was priced at $599.
Yeah, that was the big thing. one of the most negative things about the console.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Yeah. E3 2006, that's where it was officially named the 6-axis for the controller.
Yeah.
And that's because it could measure in like 6 angles. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 2 vertical, 4 all 4 horizontal.
Yeah.
Basically, it had the same design as the PS2's DualShock 2. It was wireless, though. Had that accelerometer. Could detect motion in 6 directions. Mm-hmm. Get it? Get mm-hmm. the name. But it lacked vibration capability.
Yeah.
Again, like... Why? What kind of decision is that?
No, it's... Do you really think? It's... Well, why I think... Because they didn't think, what does it matter? Because we're going to sell this thing no matter what. You know, I defended the PS3, because I want to get into a minute. I defended the PS3 against the PS2, which I do think is a superior console to that. But
you're wrong.
I'm not a big... in terms of, like, all the consoles of that generation, you know, with the exception of the Wii, which I thought was a piece of shit. I'm not a big fan of the PS3. I have a lot of things I don't like about it. But I mean, in regards to that, like, even the PS3 controller, I hate the DualShock. Like, at least with the PS4, it's like, okay, this is the best that it is. But I don't like the way the buttons are laid out where the sticks are. And the other thing is about the PS3 controller, people forget, it was light.
I hated the DualShock 3. It sucked.
I felt like I could just crush it in my hands.
It
sucked.
I remember holding the 6-axis because I did have an OG PS3.
Yeah.
I think it's still in my parents' house where put in that PS1 copy of Wild Arms. Mm-hmm. We play it right there.
Yeah.
I loved being able to save my games too. Like,
yeah.
Just like not having to stick the memory card in there, but save them on the hard drive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was so fascinated.
Yeah.
13 years old, I think I was when I finally got it.
Yeah.
Eventually that DualShock 3 was revealed at Tokyo Game Show 2007 because literally you fucked up. It's this. You're right. The story of the PS3 is one of comeback,
and redemption.
And just falling face first on your ass. And I'm sure we're going to, throughout this show, I'll put in little clips of those stupid ass moments of them doing that. Again, one of them was them saying, you're going to get a second job.
Yeah.
What is that? Like,
it's arrogance. I mean, that's what it is. It's not respecting your audience and also probably not caring for them. The thinking, and I think that's why, as we saw with this particular generation, the PS4, where, I mean, you know, so many of those personalities within Sony are beloved by fans because they realized during the PS3 generation that they made a mistake, that they kind of hurt the relationship with fans at the time. And as I think, as time went on throughout the PS3 generation, they kind of realized that we have to... Not only do we have to, one, make a better machine and make sure we have to fix all these certain things that were on it, you know, eventually with the Slim and things like that, but then just to be, have a better connection with the fan base, I think, in general. I mean, that's what I always figured. That's part of the success of the PS3 was that it brought about a new age within Sony, that it made all these people within the company realize that, okay, we need to be personalities just as much as someone like a Miyamoto or a Reggie from Nintendo or something like that, you know, or a Phil Spencer from Xbox. So, I mean...
And I do remember kind of feeling for Jack Trenton during some of those, like, rough-ass days. Was he... He was in charge during that outage. I think.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I think he was.
And I remember him...
I mean,
just
that was a big thing.
Afterwards, him coming out, just like, yeah, we fucked up.
Was that the great outage of 2011?
2011. Do you want to get into that now, or you want to talk launch?
No, we can mention that. I mean, do you have the exact date in which that happened? Because I don't know. I mean, it was in 2011.
Yeah, the outage. The outage began on April 20th, 2011.
That was in the spring.
Affected 77 million registered accounts, and it lasted for 23 days. Like
an entire month with your PlayStation Network down.
Yeah. No one can play online games. Damn.
I remember when that released too, because the two big games at the time was Mortal Kombat 9, which is the reboot of the Mortal Kombat series, which a big part of that whole game was that you can play online against other players. And the other game was SOCOM 4, which was multiplayer only. And that fucked that game, and that game eventually they closed down the servers. And I think some of the other games that released around that time too were Portal 2, and they had a whole multiplayer setting which was co-op. Mm-hmm. And so that's why those games sold better, at least, well, not obviously not SOCOM, because that was a Sony exclusive, but Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat sold so much better on the 360 because everyone realized, like, fuck, I want to play online. So that's when they went to the 360 at the time.
And again, we mentioned, but like the 360 online setup was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, that's
so... No, Xbox Live is great. To this day, I think it's still far superior to
the way parties had worked. I think by that time, did we have parties in 2011? Yeah. Because it had already been 6 years. These consoles went on for a long time.
This is the longest console generation.
I was doing some research on the Xbox for the other episode.
It's four.
It was like 2001 to 2005.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah, less than that, probably.
And so 360 was 2005 to what, 2013? 2014?
Yeah, 2013. Kind of whatever. I mean, you start to think, when was
the
last?
Double the lifespan.
Yeah. Which is, it's considerable. You want to go into the launch lineup?
I did also want to mention, like, during that outage, Sony did, I think, a good thing. This is around the time when they are realizing, like, their shortcomings.
Yeah.
And, like, they're starting to get on par with the 360 at around this time. This kind of pushes them back heavily, and people start leaning more towards the 360. Jack Trenton, like, has to keep taking punches to the face for, like, 3 years, 4 years straight, 5 years straight at this point. Just, like, getting hit in the mouth, but he's coming out smiling. I grew to really respect Jack Trenton in his time at the company, because I don't know where he's at now. I don't think he's at
Sony. He's gone. He's gone. He left Sony.
But just, he always coming out there with a smiling face, and he kind of was honest. I remember at this time, they did have this air of honesty. Like, they came out and just, like, we're sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, we messed up. We're sorry that we did that. And, you know, they did compensate people in a way. They gave everyone two free PlayStation 3 titles, two PSP titles.
PSP was popular, very popular at the time.
Was it?
Yeah,
in 2011?
I mean, I don't know what the...
This was around Vita time.
It sold well. I don't know if it... Maybe.
Vita was like 2013.
Well, that just shows... Yeah, exactly. But PSP was big. It was big. In terms of, like, I mean, I can't speak
not
to
DS
the quality
big.
Of the heart. No. But I can't, you know, and I can't speak very well to the quality of the hardware, but it sold very well. And there was a lot of games for it. Maybe people were even putting movies on the PSP.
Yes, those sweet UMDs.
I'm just saying.
You want to watch Spider-Man 2 on your PSP?
I'm just saying
Talladega Nights.
It was successful for its time.
More
considerably than the Vita was.
But they did. I love the Vita, though. The Vita is, like, the best, like, what I want from a handheld.
Yeah.
But
there's no
But without game
support.
Yeah. It baffles me. Mm-hmm. It absolutely baffles me.
Because they fucked up the launch with that. That was during the PS3 era when they, you know, they should have waited. They should have waited a few more years.
You also got 30 free days of PS Plus and 60 free days if you've already been subscribed at that point. Mm-hmm. Which PS Plus was launched in 2010. When PlayStation, because actually up to that point, I don't know if I mentioned it, but PlayStation Network was free.
Yes, it was.
Which I actually loved.
Mm-hmm. Which was a cool thing.
As a poor college student, when I was like, I can't pay for live, or like a high school student already having my own job, can't pay for live, really. I'm just going to play free games on my PS3. I just want to buy the game. Let me have multiplayer for free. It doesn't make any sense to me. Which is, in a sense, why the 360 and like live really just blew it out of the water.
Yeah, it was
because they had the funds.
Quality, yeah, it was a better quality service. Obviously, because it didn't go offline for over a month.
Yeah. Maybe because they could pay to keep the servers up and keep them well protected.
That was the other thing.
But yeah, to talk about that launch lineup, 14 titles at launch.
Yep.
And another 3 before the end of the year. You get highlights like Genji, Days of the Blade.
I don't recall that one.
That, I think that's the one about fighting giant enemy crabs.
Oh, is that the one? Is that what it was? Yeah. I just thought it was a giant enemy crab game. That's what I thought it was.
Madden NFL 07. Mm-hmm. Big Madden fan. NBA 07. Remember when NBA Live was still a thing?
You know it.
NBA 2K7, in case you didn't get enough of that basketball fix.
Got it.
NHL 2K7? You're a hockey fan?
I'm just nodding my head because
just
I'm
name
just
a hockey
saying
team.
Words.
Please name a hockey
Buffalo
team.
Buffalo Sabres. I know hockey. I know fucking hockey. I'm from Buffalo. I mean, we know that. I know that. You know, Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, the New York Islanders, You know, New Jersey Devils. I got it.
I'm good. Why do you care about the worst sport of all time?
It's not the worst sport. Basketball's the worst sport.
What?
Basketball's so boring.
You ever seen the slam dunk contest? It's a lot of fun.
That's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Wait, what?
It's the first time I've ever heard of it.
What about the PlayStation Skills Challenge?
Are these games?
No, no. That's the PlayStation-sponsored event during the All-Star Weekend.
Oh, I know. You know what? I know the Harlem Globetrotters. Those guys are great. Those guys are great.
Okay.
I'll go to one of their shows. They're pulling their pants down. It's ridiculous.
I have seen the Globetrotters once.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
They also went to North Korea once. They just went to North Korea. It was part of an outreach effort. They had that and Dennis Rodman, that fucking freak.
Oh, yeah.
And
he actually likes Kim Jong-un. Didn't they get along?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah,
they got a picture. He apologized on behalf of America. I'm sorry that America's awful. Or whatever the hell he said.
Did he?
I think it was more like, I mean, the guy can barely talk, but he kind of said, I wish the relationship between our countries was better. And North Korea went, and Kim Jong-un was like shaking his hand. It was ridiculous. Great documentary on Vice, actually. They follow him. Yeah.
There's Tiger Woods tour of 7.
Yeah, that guy, I remember him.
Oh, yeah.
He sucks up a lot of women.
I forgot Tiger Woods isn't like a thing anymore.
No, he's not. It's
what
dumb.
Is it, like Rory? It's just called Rory, PGA Tour now, right?
No, it's called Rory McIlroy, whatever the hell his name is.
Man, PGA just like sucks one dude's dick for a time, doesn't it? Yeah. Just be PGA Tour 07. Like, it's fine.
No, you gotta have Rory McIlroy, whatever the hell his name is.
No, it's another guy. There's a famous PGA guy that went to UT as well.
Oh, okay.
I just like, golf is the stupidest sport in the world.
I played golf. I was
golf is very relaxing, and it's very, like, I think a cool, chill thing, but I don't think it should be a professional sport. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Throw the flag at me.
You can make millions of dollars off of it.
Yep. Yeah, you can also make millions of dollars of just, like, blowing people. But that doesn't mean everyone
okay.
should.
Okay. I don't think that's true.
If you work hard enough, Chris.
This is getting off topic.
There's also Mobile Suit Gundam Crossfire.
I remember that, yeah.
I remember the water physics being shitty. Mm-hmm. Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I actually really like
it. The game's not bad.
It's fine. Tony Hawk's Project 8.
Yeah.
I really like Tony Hawk's Project 8. Okay. That was around post-Skate. I think Skate had come out. Does that count as a sports game? Would you not play it? You ever played Skate?
No, it's a sports game. I played them back in when there was nothing to play on the PS2, which there wasn't any. I had to go to the sports titles, so I played like Tony Hawk, whatever.
But this was Project 8 and Skate were the ones where they used the right analog stick. So like, if you had a kickflip, you had to like.
No, I remember I was terrible at it. So
I think that's why I loved it so much, because it was hard. Like skating, I can't even do an ollie. Mm-hmm. Untold Legends. Dark
I can't
Kingdom.
Stand on the board if I'm falling over. So don't you? I can't do any of it.
Untold Legends: Dark Kingdom, Need for Speed Carbon, Call of Duty 3, trying to do the Call of Duty 2
that.
Thing on the 360.
Last of World War II one.
Ridge Racer Ridge 7, Racer. Mm-hmm. And Resistance Fallen Man. It's not
not a particularly great lineup, but again, I'll still disown Resistance Fallen Man in terms of like. It's not something I'd ever go back and play again, but at the time, it's like, you know, there's a lot of great ideas here.
Yeah. So. You know where those ideas are better and fleshed out in? Ratchet and Clank. It's Insomniac.
Was that launched out for the PS2?
No.
Okay, well then we're not having this discussion.
And then the three other games that launched about in December. Fight Night Round 3, which I love. Fight Night Round 3 is really good. I don't know if you've ever really played it, it's kind of has that analog stick sort of situation. And it was the first time I remember seeing these next-gen consoles and going, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need HD. And I need these consoles. Because it had, when you knock someone out, it had slow-motion punch physics, and you could see the ripples in the cheek when, like, someone would go down. So, like, perfect sort of effect to make someone want to buy a new console. Right. Blazing Angels, Squadrons of World War II, and Full Auto 2 Battle Lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember 360's lineup, but I do remember Hexic, which was fun as hell, and Call of Duty 2, which was fun.
Yeah, Call of Duty 2 was good. Yeah, Hexic, which was the tile game.
The free game.
Man, I fucking hate those achievements. Oh my god. It's like, I played it, that's when I got my achievement addiction. I still have it, but it's not as hard as it was at the time. But, no, we had Peter Jackson's King Kong, as you might recall. And
which isn't a bad game, I remember.
No, it's not a bad game. It's just, the guy has a bad rap because it was connected to a mediocre film. But, yeah.
Maybe 3 hours long?
I think you can beat it, like, under, like, 5 hours. Probably less than
no,
that.
No, the
like
movie.
Four. Oh, yeah, the movie's like, yeah, the movie's like 3 hours long. The video game is just slightly longer than the movie. But yeah, yeah, not a particularly great launch lineup. Really kind of the first big PS3 game, I think, as we all know, was, even at the time, it people went, oh, I'm going to check this out, was Uncharted, was the original Uncharted. And it kind of showed what the console could do, at least early on at the time, which, again, I remember when I first played it. And just the way, like, the animation of, like, the foliage and the water. It's like, oh, my God, Nathan Drake's jeans are getting wet. I can tell that they're wet.
That was one of those moments,
We didn't, nothing like in the previous generation with the PS2 or the GameCube or the Xbox, they had never shown anything like that. And that kind of proved, like, wow, there's something here with this system. Whereas, you know, where, again, PS2 kind of just felt like a slightly less polygonal version of the PS1 to a certain extent, except with less creativity.
I don't know. I went through the PS3 lineup, like exclusives specifically, and just nothing that wasn't Naughty Dog really caught my eye. Mm-hmm. And so I am curious, like, what games do you like that aren't Naughty Dog? So you can't say Uncharted and you can't say Last of Us. What games, like, really make the PS3, like, one of those. Like, one of those top-tier consoles.
Final Fantasy versus 13. Yeah. Which was, like, people, which eventually turned to Final Fantasy 15. Yeah. That was the crazy thing a lot of people bought the PS3 thinking that that what would eventually become 15 was going to come to that console, which is ridiculous when you think about
it. There are a lot of games for the PS3. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of situations like that I think people bought a PS3 thinking, oh, I'm going to get this for it. So, like, oh, I'm going to get the next Final Fantasy. Oh, you don't need a PS3 for that. It's on the 360.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get the new Devil May Cry. Oh, you mean the one that's on the 360? Oh, I'm just going to get Tomb Raider. The one that's on the 360?
Yeah.
What was another one? I know there was, like, a bunch of other ones. Metal Gear Solid may have been the only one that I think was, like, stuck with it at the time.
Guns of the Patriots?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I still have not played.
Yeah, you don't need to. Well, you can play the backwards compatible MGS 2 and 3. 3 is really good. I love that. I managed to get in 360 as well. Yeah. So here's the thing. There's a lot of things I don't know if you pointed out, but it was also the first of the consoles to be also function as a Blu-ray player.
Which I think it tried to do what the PS2 did with DVDs.
Yeah.
But
Blu-ray hadn't caught on.
Blu-ray has not caught on still to this day, I think, like DVDs.
Yeah, no.
And it might have, and it might have, but then digital and streaming took off. Mm-hmm. And it just cut the legs out from under it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, with the PS3, I appreciate it because it tried to do a lot of new things, and it succeeded in regards to that in terms of power. It was the most powerful console on the market. And eventually it caught up to Xbox 360 and was parallel with it towards the last several years in terms of hardware sales.
Yeah, I think actually just at the end of the day, they kind of were even.
Yeah, they were even. They eventually got to even. I mean, Wii, it was so exponentially well, there was no way they were going to be able to catch that thing. But I just appreciate the PS3, again, because it eventually produced games that we never thought that we'd ever really get.
Yeah, like Lair.
Yeah.
And Home. Home was great.
And, Little Big Planet. I'll defend Little Big Planet. I think there was a lot of cool ideas in Little Big Planet.
Are you a creator in Little Big Planet, though?
No, I don't. I download all the maps. I fooled around. I'm like, I can't find
it. It's like Super Mario Maker, basically.
but no, I mean, yeah, here's the thing. It gave us Uncharted. It gave us The Last of Us. I'll take it for that. Yeah, I didn't pay $600 for this, for this thing. I eventually bought one, but I think it was like $250 or something. I got all those games. Like, yeah, this is worth it.
When did you get the one of the Slim redesigns?
Yeah, I got it when the launch with what was it?
The first redesign in 2009.
Yeah, it was Uncharted 2. That's when I got it.
I didn't get a PS3 until 2013.
Yeah.
After the Super Slim redesign came out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which is like, I think the Slim one looks the best, but the Super Slim one was, I paid less than $200 for it, and just played all those games back to back.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, which is, to me, it still comes down to just Naughty Dog. It's just Naughty Dog.
I mean, I even called it as my Naughty Dog machine back in the day. That's what I called it.
So that's why I find it so strange that you think it's better than the PS2.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is a different argument for a different day. I'm telling you, we're going to have a bracket where we're going to have to lead off all these consoles, and we're going to fight and defend, and I'm telling you, PS2, it's going to end up being Final Four, I'm calling it now.
Yeah.
PS2, SNES, NES, and 360. Final Four.
I think we can probably do that. I think I'd be okay with that.
I think that's what it would be.
No. I want to get the PS1 in there.
Mm.
It's better than the PS2.
We'll go through it. But yeah, where do you really think, just, I guess, to tap it all off, how's the PS3 going to be remembered?
I think it's going to be a story of redemption, where it was looked at as a joke, where everyone was laughing at it, and deservedly so. It deserved to be mocked, but it got us to a point within that console generation that these corporations and these developers, they realize that we need to treat our fan base with respect, and we need to make these iterations, with this piece of hardware, make it better, more consumer friendly. And it got to the point where I think that the PS3 was a machine worth having in your home, that it was worth having it right next to the Xbox 360, which in itself, I mean, we can eventually go into a whole topic and talk about the 360 and Red Ring of Death and everything like that. Like,
what was
the better quality console? And I think that in terms of power and just design, the PS3 was probably better than the 360, though I felt that it was the 360 was more friendly, at least to the larger gaming audience. And again, it gave us franchises, and it kind of set us down the path where eventually, it
gave us the move, it gave us home.
You're not helping me. Yeah, well, that was, well, a lot of Microsoft will chase that too, but. Heavenly Sword is actually not that
it's
bad.
Actually just
it's not, fine. It's not it's, bad. Yeah, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's perfect 7. But no, I appreciate the PS3 because it made those jumps that the PS2 did not, in my opinion. It gave me games which I didn't think at that time would possibly get, which, again, with the Uncharted, or proving that we can get a good superhero franchise early on, or proving that you can, be more experimental with your first-person shooters, and, I like that. I have a lot of problems with the PS3. It's, again, I don't think it's certainly not as good as the PS1, and it's definitely not as good as the PS4. But for now, I think it'll be best remembered as the console that, was a victim of hubris, but eventually came back to be something I think will be fondly remembered, at least in its last few years.
Yeah, the best thing to come out of the PS3 is the PS4.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong, yeah.
$599 US dollars.